And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Thank you for checking in. It's another edition of Hoops Adjacent. I am David Aldrich here in pollen-laden D.C., out in the Bay where the air is clear. Marcus Thompson, what is up, man?
Let me tell you out here what it's like right now in the Bay. We in the town, and I haven't even been outside yet, and it's beautiful. I got to go to Target, so yeah. I'm looking forward to the beautiful sun conflicting with the wonderful Bay Area breeze. It is a gorgeous day in the Bay, which means my day is good.
I hate you. You probably just walk places you don't even need to walk, right? Just to like,
man, let me tell you, I just be running to the gas station. I don't need no gas. I'm just like, I'm gonna walk over to the gas station and give me a Gatorade or something just to be outside these streets.
I hate you. I love the Bay. That's the one place I would move in a heartbeat if I could. I would love to live out there, man. It's fantastic.
I need you to stop hating on D.C., though, because D.C. is definitely my
top. I love D.C. No, it's my town. It's just that you got to deal with pollen and conservatives. But that's it. Other than that, it's a very nice town.
Other than that, it's great. I was thinking more winter.
Exactly.
Winter is not deterrent, but I love D.C.
All right, so it is playoff time, and in a stunning development, the Wizards are actually going to be in the postseason this year. So they're in the play-in game. We're taping this Tuesday. They play tonight. They play Boston. The winner of that game makes the playoffs, plays Brooklyn in the first round, is in. The loser still has one more chance in this play-in system, which I've said enough about. People know where I stand on it. Another two teams that are in the playoffs in the West, in the play-ins in the West. Two teams that you wouldn't expect to be there, of course. The Warriors and the LA Lakers. And joining us this week, one of my favorites. She is just fantastic. She's been on before. She does a great job with Spectrum Sportsnet. Hosts the Road Trippin' podcast, which is wildly spectacular. Wildly more popular than this podcast, Marcus, by multiple factors. The fantastic Allie Clifton. Allie, you look great in the month of May. Have I told you that?
God, that line will never get old to
me. I always tell her how good she looks because it's true. Allie, what's happening? Welcome back.
I am great. Actually, the way in which Marcus described the Bay Area, I have to agree because that's how it feels down here in Southern California. So when the weather is nice, all is well.
Talk that talk, Callie. This is Callie Light. This is what we talk about.
I hate you both so much.
Ohio's so mad at me, too.
Oh, I can't. Well, wait. Ohio is, well, it gets hot there in the summer, right? It's like hot.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's beautiful there right now, obviously, because it's May.
Yeah.
It's not. Are you talking trash, Allie? Are you trolling? Are you trolling people back in Ohio?
That is like my first text and the quickest text I will ever send. When I look at the weather and it's 25 below and 9 inches of snow and I wake up and the sun is shining and it's 70 degrees. I mean, I don't even say hi. I just shoot the weather.
You just say 74.
Yeah. 74.
That's all you send. That's the only text you send.
I love it. By the way, Allie, I didn't know you had bars too, by the way. Did you know she was a poet, D.A.?
What did I say?
Can I read one of your? I'm gonna read one of her finest works.
There you go.
Listen to this.
Okay.
Love many.
Yep.
Trust few.
Yep.
Always paddle your own canoe.
Ooh, I like it.
A Thursday thought for you.
Oh man, that is deep.
Finger snaps, baby. Let's go, Allie. We didn't know you had bars.
That's some deep. You know deep.
What? What's really bad is I think I actually just a book that I'm reading. I pulled it out of there and I feel bad because I probably should have quoted the actual author in it, but I like read it over and over and over again. I mean, sometimes it's just that simple.
Wow. That is right. It moved you. It touched you.
Oh yeah.
Although these not your bars. Oh, I thought these were your bars.
No, see, that's why I was like, shoot. I should have quoted the person. I should have done it the right way. But I'll you know, for the sake of this and you thinking that I have bars, I'm going to claim it.
There you go.
Yeah, go ahead and claim it. We got that.
We got some plagiaristic kind of things going on here.
Oh, please don't.
All right, but wait, before we talk about the Lakers and the Dubs in the play-in game, what, you do baseball? I didn't know you did baseball too.
Whenever they need a sub, I got you. Pride in being a team player.
All right.
And you know, obviously the Dodgers are with Spectrum, and I filled in yesterday and I did a couple of times my first season. Obviously COVID kind of put a wrench in that last year just because the Lakers were playing at the same time. But they needed someone yesterday, Sunday. And so, yeah, I filled in and I try to hang when I can.
I did baseball a million years ago when I was with Turner, and you know, in the early years we had the playoffs. I enjoyed doing baseball. I like baseball. You know, I can't pretend I know as much about that as I do about basketball, and I didn't try to. And but it was fun. You know, it's different.
Playoff baseball is lit.
Yes,
and that's what my thing is too. Is like I always get so much more engaged. I think with any sport, even like hockey, like the playoffs just make it so much different.
Yes,
but I think also it would be different if I could actually be at the stadium, at the field.
Yes.
You know. But I'm the same way as you, Dia. I don't claim that I'm a baseball expert, but I love the challenge. I was thankful for the opportunity. So, and when you get to cover the Dodgers, when you do it, it makes it fun.
It's pretty good. Yeah. I went out, I did one game out in LA with the Dodgers, and just going out to Chavez, it's spectacular. It's just so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah. It's breathtakingly beautiful out there. It's just incredible.
It really is. And there's so many times, you know, you see different stadiums and arenas. You know, I obviously going to Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
They're different places like that, because they've been around for so long, could use some renovations, right?
Sure.
But it's like, you don't want to touch too much because it's almost what makes it special.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what Dodgers
say. Just so you know, y'all triggering me right now. You understand that, right?
Why? Allie, because his A's about to leave town.
Crisis right now. The A's are meeting in Vegas about stadiums. We're about to lose our team. And y'all want to have a baseball conversation?
No, but you told Marcus, you told the A's to get to stepping.
I mean, it's still, they need to get to stepping. But that don't mean I'm not going to cry in the car. Like,
Marcus, I will say this, all of those years for the finals with Cavs and Warriors, driving past that stadium just to get to Oracle, I'm actually mad I never went to a game, or at least tried to, like.
It's like you said, it's kind of, you know, it's a dump, right? It needs renovation, but like.
But it's somehow, your dump.
You know how we used to go, Allie? We'd be in New Orleans, and my wife is just, she loves it. And she's like, I want to eat at this restaurant. And it's like, this is great. And any other place, she would never eat at this restaurant because it's filthy. But in New Orleans, it's cultured, right? Like, it's like there's dirt on the walls next to a saxophone painting, right? And it's like, this is culture. But if that was like anywhere else, it'd be like, ugh, let's not eat here. I feel like that's the Coliseum. Like, it's trash. But there's some culture there, right? And you just kind of feel it. You would have liked it. It's not Chavez Ravine, but there's something about it that's a little bit, you know, all right, yeah, I could slum it a little bit.
Yeah, and the more you're around sports, the more you, like, grow to appreciate things like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I did many games in Oakland during the playoffs, and it's a dump. But it's your dump. I understand that. It's your dump. I get that. I totally get that. So you appreciate it. You love it more. So let's get into, you know, this matchup between your two rival teams. And I love how LeBron now says he loves Steph when we all know that's not true.
He loves Steph.
He does not. You know he doesn't.
I think he always loved Steph. And then there was a period where he couldn't. But he's always loved Steph.
He's all like, this dude used to be at his games, like courtside when Steph was at Davidson. Like, he loved that dude.
Were they born in the same hospital? How can you not love one another?
Yes, but when he blocked that shot in the finals, that was...
there was no love there. I do think there was a period where he just couldn't, you know, he couldn't love him. And I think now, debate where he's got to kind of... He's like, all right, I can love Steph again. He's my guy.
I'm going to need Steph to maybe be on my side one day.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, it's never too early to start recruiting, right?
Allie's starting to recruit me.
It is a joke. That is tampering.
No, you're not wrong, though. You're not wrong.
Go.
But LeBron's like Kentucky now. He doesn't need to recruit. You know, like they just come to him now if they want to play for them. So I'm sure that's still out there. So let's break. I mean, this is going to be fascinating to me. I know ESPN is going to be beside itself because they're going to get stupid ratings in this game. I'm sure they wish it was best of three or best of seven. But I wonder, I mean, I would have to think going in, you got to think the Lakers are going to win this if LeBron is healthy, right? I mean, if he's back and playing and, he took himself out the other day, but that seems like that was precautionary. Any reason to think it wasn't, Allie?
No, I think you're right. I think you nailed it with that. And I think, you know, as repetitive as this may seem, I think it's always held true and showed its face when it mattered most. That's the main priority. And you know, what's kind of interesting with all of this is for so many years, he would use the narrative that he didn't care what seed he was. Put me in the playoffs, I'll bet on myself, I'll take myself. And now he's there. And right. It's just ironic that it's at this point of his career and he's got this challenge ahead of him. But he's always stuck to the health and making sure that that was the number one priority. And so I think at any point in time, especially late, using that as a precautionary measure was important and it was right. And they did so.
Yeah. And they only had the two games with him and AD, right, when they came back. And I watched the Indiana game and they looked, you know, fine. They looked like themselves. Just wonder what you saw of him in the brief time he was back on the court.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm very interested, and I guess it leaves it to our own imagination because of a lot of talk that came out of the practices he had before returning back to the court in Indiana and how strong that looked, the way in which guys spoke to the media in terms of, trust me, he's going to be just fine. But what we saw in Indiana, what we saw in New Orleans, I look more so from the mental approach. I think the step was there. I think the lateral movement was there. I think the no hesitation in terms of physical presence was there. But the mental side, specifically to Indiana, you know, Indiana goes on that run late. He comes back in. He goes on a 7-2 run by himself to pretty much put the game away. The attack to the rim, the three ball. He dished it to Andre, which he ended up following up on his own. But I just think that approach, the takeover opportunity that he seized and then just getting guys involved. That's what gave me a really good feel that he was in a much better place, even more so than the Kings Raptors game before he went back out. So I liked where he was. I think AD got his step back even when Bron was out those handful of games after returning for two. So I love what I see and I'm excited to see how it kind of unfolds tomorrow.
I mean, what are we doing anyway? Like, what? LeBron is fine. LeBron, until I see LeBron limp off a court in a playoff game, I'm not buying it. Right. I watched the dude dive head first into a camera, blood on the court, and he's back in the game. Like, this dude, LeBron is built for this stuff. I'm not buying it for a half a second. LeBron is fine. He might do a 40-point triple-double, and we've seen this movie. I'm not playing this Tom Brady game with LeBron. Like, oh, does he have it? No, he's going to be 75 dropping triple-doubles in the playoffs.
Marcus, I don't think you could forget either his last year in Cleveland after dropping 58-8, breaking his hand and then playing three more games in the finals. Like, to your point, you've watched him run into a stanchion, blood on the court, and still play. So until he walks off and doesn't return.
In the playoffs. I got to see it in the playoffs. I don't believe it until I see it. Like, this dude, he'll figure it out. I mean, from cramping in the arena, like off a, like, you know, like we've all seen this. Like, he did cramp in
the Spurs series in game one. That was legit.
Yeah, he did cramp up. He's going to perform. Like, that's LeBron, playoffs happen. the guy performs. Like, this is clockwork.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it. I don't think anybody in the Bay is buying it either, honestly.
No, I've still got LA in the conference finals, you know, so I don't see any reason to deviate from that. All due respect to Utah and Denver.
There's no respect there, DA. You are totally disrespecting the year Utah had.
I'm not disrespecting it. Not at all.
Totally disrespecting. Just wrote them off for an 8 seed, possibly a 7 seed.
Max. No. I have them going out to the 4 seed, the Clippers, in the second round.
Allie, here's what I want to ask you, Allie. So, look, I mean, I know, you know, this is hype, right? It's gonna be exciting. But the truth is, the Lakers are a pretty bad matchup for the Warriors. The last two games, it has been a combined like 56-point advantage. And I know they did beat the Lakers earlier, but the Lakers got up big and the Warriors kind of came back. But you do see the Warriors playing small. There's no Wiseman. There's no Oubre. They've gone to kind of their old school way. Is that actually enough to bother the Lakers? Because we have seen it not be very close when these two teams play.
If you are not locked in, I'll give you one, Steph Curry. Yeah. Like, if you aren't, it is not a 7-game series. It is a 1 game, then it determines what happens next, right? If you aren't locked in mentally because of what that one singular guy can do to you, then it's going to be a problem. I think that the Lakers will be there mentally and physically. I think that they respect the hell out of Steph Curry and understand what he can do. Oh, by the way, the players around him as well, who understand to get him the ball, to let him lead, to be Steph Curry, the MVP that we know he is and capable of being and has shown this season at that. If they don't handle their business, and I think so more so mentally, it could be a long night. Do I think the Lakers will be there and have the right matchups and approach it with the right mentality? Yes. But I mean, who isn't respecting him? Who isn't seeing what Stephen Curry can do single-handedly, no matter who's on the floor? He doesn't care who he sees in a Laker uniform. He will destroy you if you're not ready. And the only thing that the one reason why I have confidence is because you do have a leader in LeBron James who respects the hell out of Steph Curry and Steve Kerr and Draymond Green. That if you're not ready to match that, well, then it's going to be a long night.
You know what makes it like really where you're like, yo, you really got to be in your game. Like, he has shot so poorly in Staples of late. So he's almost due. You know, LeBron is like, yo, this dude is due for a 10 three-pointer game. Like, I can't let this happen because he just doesn't shoot in Staples well. He just doesn't do it.
Which is
but
weird.
But you know, at some point he's going to, and LeBron is like, he's thinking, not on my watch. We just can't let this happen. So
you have to face the reality that it is a 1-game situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And he can get 60. You know what I mean? Like, he can literally get 60.
Literally.
If he needs to, if he's on. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, so what's this, Marcus? Why, you know, knit me a scenario where the Dubs are in the game in the fourth quarter. Because if they get to the fourth quarter, they can win the game because that guy's that good. He can win the game by himself.
It's the supporting cast. I mean, it's the same like with, you know, LeBron in a sense. LeBron has AD, which is a great factor. It's really going to be Andrew Wiggins, right? It's going to be Jordan Poole. Draymond is going to be tied up trying to keep AD from being AD. Like, we know that matchup.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know what the Lakers are going to do to take away Steph. The only way it works is if guys like Andrew Wiggins can take advantage. They got to win their matchups. They got to attack and somehow just kind of soften it up. The problem with the Lakers against the Warriors is one, LeBron, he literally knows the offense. Like, he's literally calling out what's about to happen. He can cheat every time. Ali, you see it, right? Every time he plays the Warriors, he's jumping the play. He knows what's about to happen. And then they've got all these veterans who just know how to kind of read and feel the game, and they're champions. So it's hard. The Warriors kind of use a sleight of hand offense, right? Where it's like, Steph's going over here, and then there's somebody else over there, right? Where you can kind of trick the defense. This team is harder to trick. Like, they're good defensively. They're well coached. They got veterans. They got length. So, like, Wiggins has to ball. Even if Steph
will have to go off, but he's going to need some help. And they can be in the game if guys like Wiggins, if guys like Jordan Poole, if guys like Kent Bazemore are like keeping them alive and saving it for when Steph
just keep them close
at the end.
Yeah,
that's a tough ask though. It's just a lot to ask. These dudes are champions, man. Like you just don't walk in and get 30 on the Lakers. It just doesn't happen like that. That's the part where I'm like, I don't know, y'all, but Wiggins has the talent to do it. I just don't know. I just got to see it. That's one of the things I got to see him in the playoffs producing.
I'm trying. Has he been in a playoff game? I'm trying to remember. Did he make?
Yeah, they went with Jimmy Butler that one year.
First round. Yes, yeah. That one time. Yep. That's right. But yeah, not a lot of playoff experience to speak of. So,
looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, Ali, I wonder about also guys like, to me, Caruso are so important on the Lakers. And I know it's just been kind of a weird year for everybody, but of that group besides LeBron and AD, who's ready? Like, who do you say, oh, he's ready to go 2 months and play really well for most of that time?
I think it's hard not to say. I think it's easy just to say Alex Caruso because, one, he's a champion. He proved it last year, right? He continues to show up. And I think a lot of it is because he's so driven from just a outwork you mentality. His numbers speak for themselves, especially when he's alongside LeBron. They're two of the best on the court together in terms of plus minus, et cetera. But also he had his moments here down the stretch where he had to have the ball in his hands a little bit more because all of our playmakers were out. The one guy that I want to bet on that I think is ready for it and he has playoff experience is Dennis Schroeder. I think he's going to be such a vital piece to how far this team goes just because of the way in which he will dictate things out front. And it's on both ends of the floor. His defensive mentality, buying in, laying out every single night, 94 feet, has been something that I loved watching this season. I don't want to say it's been a shock to me, but when you don't get to watch it night in and night out, and then you do and you see that consistency. But I think offensively as well, just taking that load off of LeBron, but also being able to put guys in positions to move and work has been something fun to watch. So I would put a lot on him.
So, Ali, the one interesting part about the Lakers, and maybe not so much for the play-in, but just over the long haul, is the bigs and how that will work. If you look at, you know, Drummond, Gasol, each bring different things. And if you're the Warriors, you're looking, I'm trying to get these dudes in the pick and roll all day, especially Drummond. Do they just chuck that run AD at center just for the play-in game until you get into a series and you got to match up against a Gobert and you got to match up against, DeAndre Ayton? Or do they actually try to, you know, start working out this center position now in the play-in game?
I think the regular season, I know it hasn't been a lot with Andre Drummond, but for Marc Gasol and Montrez specifically, I think they got through that during the regular season. And I think right now we're at a point where a season ago, we saw the decisions that Frank Vogel had to make in the postseason. And he made the right decisions. He pulled the right card at the right time. You went small against Houston. You sat JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard. No matter how hard that was, guys accepted the role. Then they showed up in Denver. Dwight Howard was huge against the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals a season ago.
Yeah.
You have guys who accepted their roles here in the regular season. When it comes to Marc Gasol, when it comes to Montrezl Harrell, Andre Drummond is a guy who came in at a point where he just wanted the opportunity to play, to be on a team that could win. And so he's willing to accept what that looks like. And so when it comes to Frank Vogel, it's going to be key, but he's done it in the past. You expect he continues to do it. And when in doubt, you put Anthony Davis at the center. It becomes a completely different game,
right?
Almost unmatchable, unguardable. And I expect him to do that. And I think tomorrow, to your point, it might be the time where it starts. But series to series, I think it'll be on matchups. And I feel like the centers have come to that conclusion. They understand that.
Yeah. And to Marcus's point, if they play, assuming they win the playing game and they play Phoenix, you have to play the bigs against Ayton. Like, you can't.
Yep.
I get that. But I agree with you. I don't think, to me, AD at the five, they're unbeatable. To me, in a seven-game series with days off in between every game, at least one day off and almost always two in a couple of occasions, I'd be hard-pressed not to go with that lineup, because it's just so – it's impossible to stop offensively. Well,
you know, the problem is you're essentially saying, let's play the Warriors style, which is going to be better at you at it. So that's kind of – if there's a risk when this team is one of the worst rebounding teams in the league, you can clearly – just kind of get your, like what Valanciunas just did, just bully him inside. So I could see the appeal, but like, obviously, like Ali said, Anthony Davis at center is your ace in the hole, right?
Yeah.
It's your card to play. But the Warriors are so small, like sometimes you can almost be like, man, let's just bully these dudes. Yeah. Like some coaches say that. But like Ali said, I do think that's the difference. Like, we've seen Frank Vogel. Like, he's done this.
Yeah.
That's what's different. Like, they don't really – it's different when you can prey on a coach, so to speak, right? When you can, like, kind of milk him for his weaknesses or whatever. But, like, Vogel's really good at this, and he's kind of shown it already. So, you know, like, if he's got to pull a trigger, he's going to pull it.
Yeah. I do wonder about one thing with Gasol and Drummond. They're different from Dwight and JaVale, right? I mean, yep. You know what you're getting. Like, whatever you think of Dwight can still go rebound and he can block shots and he'll be able to do that forever. You know what I mean?
He can, like, get under your skin.
Yes, yes, like, yes.
That's like an art to me.
Yeah. No, he's really good at it. Like, he knows how to do that. And he's an incredibly big, strong, physical guy. And JaVale is stronger than you think and still has the vertical aspect to his game. I don't know that they get the same oomph out of Drummond and Gasol, but tell me where they do help them if I'm wrong.
One thing that's been fun for me to watch this season with Marc Gasol is I think he is still, even at this age and stage of his career, he's an underrated defender.
Mm-hmm.
I think that hands down. And one of the things is him just flat out saying, I may not have the speed and athleticism, but I'll beat you with my mind.
Yeah.
And there's times in verticality situations, there's times in just being that solid team defender that he has made a difference. He can stretch you on the offensive end, especially when Andre Drummond came to this team. Marc Gasol changed. There was a bit of a shift in his game. I don't know if it's urgency, if it's that healthy competition within your roster that he felt, but the three ball, the way in which he continued to facilitate, he poses a threat when he is on the floor. He is another kind of facilitator, if you will, on the offensive end, and he's smart defensively. For Andre Drummond, and I don't think we've seen enough of it, but I think it'll continue to grow if he allows it, which it seems he will, is just the effect that LeBron and AD will have on him. I don't think we could judge Andre Drummond fully until you have enough games, especially alongside LeBron James, where he can get you going and he can give you opportunities that come a little bit easier.
Yeah.
You don't have to work for him as much. So they are two different styles. I still think he poses a rim threat, as well as just getting in the passing lanes. His hands has been obviously something we've all seen throughout his career. But I think paired with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, that's where he can become even a bigger threat. Not to compare him to JaVale or Dwight, but for the sake of the conversation, obviously, that's where I see a big difference.
You know, you just don't want to try that on Steph. You just want to wait. Wait till after Steph. But I was, Ali, what's the vibe about the Clippers ducking the Lakers? Have you heard much about that? About them tanking games to avoid the Lakers?
You know, it's funny. I had an interesting conversation the other day with a colleague because I used the word tank. And I quickly corrected myself because I think there's a difference from tanking at the bottom of the conference versus strategy within
jockeying for position. Yeah.
I think there's a difference. And look, it is what it is. I saw Ty say the other day, he'll take health over rest every day. And it's actually something I saw in Cleveland often. Not that it mattered when it came to jockeying for positions, but that is who Ty is, and he believes in that. And so I respect it. But look, at the end of the day, roll the ball out. If the two teams face one another, let them decide it.
Right.
I actually like the decision, to be honest. You know, I
wouldn't mind them later in the playoffs, of course.
Sure. I think it's smart. I don't want to see this team early. Let me get some momentum under me.
I would certainly
clash.
Yeah, no, if I'm the Lakers, of course I want to play Phoenix. And, you know what I mean? I mean, again, all due respect to Phoenix, but why would they be afraid of Phoenix? You know what I mean? This Phoenix team has no pedigree in the playoffs. They've never accomplished anything in the playoffs. You know, why would you wouldn't be afraid of them? That's who and you can avoid the Clippers until the conference finals? Of course you do that. This is my problem with the play-in round. People act like teams aren't still doing these things that they're obviously doing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not and so it's fine. I don't mind the idea of the play-in round. I just want people to be honest that this is about money. That's what this is about. That's all it's about. And that's okay. Just say it. That's all, you know.
And I love it. I love it.
You're a fan of the play-in, Marcus?
Oh, absolutely. I love this. This is incredible to me. All these Westbrook is alive.
Okay, but
Bradley Beal's alive. Let's go.
Here's
what I don't like. I don't like that there's potential risk for like LeBron or Steph to be out of the playoffs. Like if somehow Steph goes off and hits 60,
the league does not want that.
And LeBron sprains his ankle again and like needs a week, and they lose the. You know what I'm saying? That is live is kind of like. When that goes bad, I know it's over. It's almost like, yo, we kicking it, but eventually mama coming home and the party's going to be over. Like something like that is going to happen and they're going to shut the whole thing down. Like LeBron's out the playoffs because of this thing or even Steph. Steph is out the playoffs because of this thing, right? So that part is kind of bad, but I do like how so many other teams are not giving up on games at the end of the year. I thought it was very interesting to hop around league pass and see games that mattered.
Okay,
but I imagine for basketball, non-basketball junkies, it probably doesn't make that much of a difference.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Here is the fallacy to the play-in round, okay? In the Eastern Conference, you go into the last weekend of the season. Who were the teams that were still viable for the playoffs?
It was the same ones.
It was Charlotte, Washington, Indiana, right? They had two games left each. They were viable. They had a chance to get into the play-in round, or they had made the play-in round, I would say. If you played under the old system going into the final week of the season, who would have been the teams vying for the eighth and final playoff spot? Charlotte, Washington, and Indiana. Nothing changed. There was there's absolutely no difference whatsoever, except they'd be playing for one spot. The game Sunday between Charlotte and Washington would have been for the eighth and final playoff spot. You telling me that's not drama? There's no drama in that? Last year, was it Minnesota and who playing for the last spot in the West? Or was it 2 years ago? The last game of the season, winner gets in, loser goes home. What's wrong with that? That's great drama. There's nothing wrong with that. So what are we talking about?
Fine.
What are we talking about?
It's the same about system. The Chicago. Like Chicago was in it longer. Toronto was in it longer. Yeah, like
they were on the edge of it. Yeah, they were on the edge of it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how much of a value that is, especially like in the scenario like we talked about where somebody like LeBron ends up out or Steph ends up out of the playoffs, so New Orleans can have a longer, meaningful season. I don't know if that's a good payoff, but like turning on a Kings game and seeing them like with three games left
playing for something,
playing a must win game, right. Like it was fun.
Right, Allie.
Are we talking about? This is about money for the league. Or are we talking about let's avoid players tanking?
Well, I mean, I think because teams
we want
tank,
to see
right?
them. What's that?
A team's tank. I don't know that players tank. Maybe players tank. I don't know.
My point here is like I don't think. Okay, so I was okay with the bubble, 100%.
Yeah,
that made 100% sense. I'm actually okay listening and talking over the last couple of weeks and month or so about this season as well, because you are 10 games shorter. You are having games a lot more often to fit into the season, right?
Yeah.
So there were injuries. You had to deal with the COVID situation for really the first time outside of a bubble. I get that. But moving forward, don't touch, if you're going to go on with this playing thing, don't touch the top seven. I think there are plenty of games for you to be able to decide if you are in the playoffs or not, a top seven. I think you're fine top eight. But I understand the money aspect.
Mm-hmm.
From that standpoint, don't touch anything through seven. And maybe it's just become something of like eight and nine.
Yeah.
And then you have that opportunity to play for that one game. And if it's about teams avoiding tanking, why don't we do something like the All-Star game for the next like three seeds in terms of putting money into like their pockets?
Yeah.
I'm just not the biggest fan of like.
Yeah, you're right. That is a problem that you could really make a seven seed and it don't count. And maybe it answers like the criticism, the longtime criticism of the NBA, where it's like it's too many teams make the playoff. They've effectively turned the top six teams into the real playoffs, right? Yeah. Everybody else is like poverty, right? Like, so if that's the goal, like I get it. But it is a definite major shift in paradigm to think, yo, I'm a seven seed and I'm kind of like trash, like hoping to get. That is a tough thing to swallow. If you're the seven seed, I can see you being like, hold on, B, like seven in the West is legit.
Right. In a normal year, the seven seed's what, 48, 49 games? You know what I mean? Like you've had a good season, you know? No, I mean, again, I don't mind the idea of the playing game. If you want to, if you think it encourages more teams to continue playing, but I just want them to be honest about why they're doing it. It has nothing to do with competition. This is about
money. Hey,
they
need to have a consolation tournament. Right. That's how you decide the draft. Have a tournament for the people who didn't make it.
I suggested
that. And the winner get the number one pick.
That last year. I wrote it. I said the teams that don't make the playoffs, the 14 teams that don't make the playoffs, should have a tournament. And how you seed it, how you stack it, round robin, best, I don't know how you do it. But have a tournament, and the team that wins the tournament gets the number one pick.
100%. I love that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't touch the top seven or eight. I just don't touch them.
Well, you don't got to touch the top eight if you do that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like the, you know, I don't know. I just don't know why you have to have more bad teams have a chance to make the playoffs. Why is that a good thing? No, I'm serious. Like, why is that? Is that that's optimal?
Ribbons.
You know what I mean?
So hey, now cut we out have all this logic, man. We don't need all it. We just want
to. We need a team 15 games under 500 having a chance to get in. Why? Why? What does that prove? Like, that proves nothing.
Can you imagine if they ran with a play-in tournament back in the 80s and 90s?
Oh, my God. Oh. just, I don't know. I'm old. I know. I'm old. All right, Allie, I wanted to get – how pissed is LeBron at Solomon Hill? How pissed?
Oh, really? Why do you have to ask me that question?
Because you cover them.
And you be knowing stuff. Don't be
exactly. Exactly.
You've been knowing stuff for a long time.
Dude cost LeBron MVP number 5. I know he's salty about it.
I think here's what I'm gonna say about this. I don't think it's directly at Solomon Hill. I think it was more than that.
Okay.
Obviously, it was an unfortunate situation. In the moment, was there a bit of frustration, and was Solomon Hill that guy? Okay. LeBron's smart enough. LeBron understands big picture. It was just more than just that one moment. Yeah, it sucked. Yeah, he struggled with that probably for a while. Hell, he's probably still working his way through that mentally, right?
Yeah.
But I just think the trickle-down effect of that one moment, that one play, has and carries much more value and weight than to just say, I'm pissed at Solomon Hill, right? Like, obviously, we understand why, and we understand that he was, but it's just much bigger than that. And I think Bron is in a position to understand that. I trust that he's put that behind him and obviously has fueled himself and used that as a way to now push it in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that just sucked. And freak things happen. And I think the other thing too, as competitors in the heat of the moment, does Solomon Hill want that back? Did he say he didn't intentionally do it in the moment? Of course. I don't think any player steps out on the court and is like, I'm going to intentionally try to hurt this player.
Right.
But did it suck? And did Bron feel it on a very, very deep level? That I will say yes.
Right. Because, I mean, it's all about history now with LeBron. You know what I mean? Like, you know that. I mean, this is about how many pelts he can come up with before
he... And at this point, we all know it, and he knows it, and he knows it more than any of us, that he is at the backside of his career.
Yeah.
And so all of the time matters. And the season in which he was having personally, and which obviously pales in comparison to the way in which his team was playing at the time, finally getting a groove without AD, and what they were able to do and still want to accomplish this year. It all just came crumbling down at once.
Right.
On that one play. So, yeah, it was tough.
So Allie, let's tap into your hoops love and expertise. Who do you believe in the West? Obviously, the Lakers are the Lakers that are defending champs. Who do you believe in as a legit adversary?
The Clippers.
That's it? More Jazz hate from you, too?
I don't know. No. I believe there will be nothing easy about the Utah Jazz. There will be nothing easy. I would also agree about the Phoenix Suns. Is it going to be a tall task from them? They don't have a lot of experience on their side, but do I ever want to 100% bet against Chris Paul and the work that he has been able to do as a floor general and leader in that locker room alongside Monty Williams, who has been great? No. But I think when it comes down to it, the Clippers and the way in which they can match up with who I believe obviously is at the top still in the Lakers, they would be the biggest threat in the West in my mind. From position to position, the amount of bodies they could throw at LeBron, the amount of bodies in terms of just being physical with Anthony Davis, though I don't think he can still be guarded, the way in which they're shooting the three ball. Paul George is still to be determined in terms of what he can bring come the postseason when it matters most. The health of Kawhi. And look, I watched Ty Lue go to work with his playbook, with his ATOs, with his preparation. That's a tall task.
Yeah, he's got a hell of a staff, too. I mean, he's got a smart staff over there. I agree with you. And I think, I put Kawhi in the same bucket as LeBron. When a guy's won multiple chips, I expect him to be great, you know, when this time of year comes around, right? So I expect Kawhi to be Kawhi. You know, I know he didn't play a ton down the stretch. I don't care. I've seen him do it too many times on this stage when most guys pass the ball.
My goal is just to get Salt Lake to come for both of y'all. That's my goal.
I love Salt Lake.
I want Salt Lake fans in your mentions.
No, don't do that. I love Salt Lake.
Yeah, I don't want that either.
I love Salt Lake. I want the Jazz to do well. I'm not saying that I think they're terrible. I'm not saying that at all. They're great. They've had a great season. I just bet on – I'm a big believer in incumbency this time of year. So the teams that have shown you they can do it, the players that have shown you they can do it this time of year, those are the teams I tend to rock with. And
Someone told me once during a strong run, I think it was in 2016, because the Cavs had swept the first two rounds, faced a little bit of adversity, I think, in the Eastern Conference Finals. We get to the finals. And someone once told me that not everyone is built for the finals. Not everyone is built for the playoffs.
Right.
And I think that there are still teams out there that have yet to show that there is a difference between regular season and postseason, that just like there's a difference between postseason and finals, that stage. And so that's what I'm anxious to see with teams like the Utah Jazz, who have been so great. But when it comes to seven game series and adjustments of the name of the game, are you going to be able, just like I want to see what happens with Milwaukee, with Giannis?
Yeah,
that was my next question.
Well, but here's I agree with you, and it's a fair question, but this is the difference. They didn't have Jrue Holiday last year. They didn't have PJ Tucker last year. I think those two guys are a huge difference for the Bucks this year. Just enormous.
Mm-hmm.
Jrue Holiday.
I'm all in on Jrue.
I've seen Jrue Holiday lock Dame up, okay? I've seen it in the playoffs, okay?
Whoa. Dude,
come on
we
now.
We don't talk about Oakland people like that.
Come on now. You know I love Dame,
talk about Oakland people like that.
I'm just saying facts. Just check the just check it.
buddy.
Just check it. Nope. Check it New trash. Orleans, Portland, triple first team. Round a couple years ago.
I remember the sweep. I remember it. It was a triple team.
Dame's right, gonna put that on his wall at night. It's gonna be up on a ceiling. Okay,
Dame knows I love him. Dame knows I love him.
We don't do open shade.
I'm just saying, I've seen Jrue play great in the playoffs. That's what I'm saying.
He's incredible.
Seen him be great in the playoffs. So
you're saying you believe in Milwaukee more than you do Utah?
I picked Milwaukee to beat Brooklyn in the second round. That's how much I believe in Milwaukee. Boom.
Ooh. Is that too far a bridge for you, Allie? Or you
said you believe Milwaukee.
I have Milwaukee beating Brooklyn in the second round. Yes.
That's a take.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a take.
I believe in Jrue Holiday. I'm just telling you. I believe in him. In him.
He makes it hard to not.
You know, and I think and a guy like that that takes pressure off of your best player, you guys know. I mean, there's no value. There's invaluable guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, look, I saw Klay Thompson in Oklahoma City in game six. There's no value on what he did. What he did in that game, there's no value to it. You can't put a price tag on how big that was. You know, and it wasn't Steph. And Steph was fine in that game. I'm not saying it was bad. But Klay Thompson saved them. You know?
Literally.
And so,
literally.
You know what I mean? And so, a guy like that, that's how I think of Jrue Holiday. And I think PJ Tucker is built for these types of times of year. You can put him on James Harden or Kyrie, and he's not going to stop them. I'm not saying that. But he's going to really make them work for their points. And that's all you can ask.
All right. I'm going to have to borrow the ideology of our guest poet here and say, in the end, the players kind of set you up. Like Steph closed that series and then, you know, closed the game seven.
Yes.
In the end, you still need a closer.
No doubt.
Don't we got to see Giannis do that?
No, you're right. You're right.
The other team got KD and James Harden.
They do.
I don't know, Allie. Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm taking your ideology.
Oh, yeah. And the guy that won the finals for Cleveland.
Probably the biggest shot.
Yes, right. It's like, I don't know, Allie. I'm just you're saying. Right. They got a lot of dudes who close.
That's the thing with the Nets is like that big question mark on their defense, which I think in the regular season, when we saw them have to face teams above 500, they did what they needed to do, right? That record kind of spoke for itself. But you have to be able to stop them. Because they will outscore you.
It's hard. I cannot think of a team ever that's had this kind of firepower ever. You know,
really,
ever. It's. I don't know. How do you even begin to think? Here's how we're going to slow them down to 115 points a game. You know what I mean?
Like being inside Cavs practices for four straight runs to the finals, but those final 2 years, when you would then go to those finals games and Draymond gets subbed out and KD is his sub, and then Steph gets subbed out, right, and Clay is his, like, what?
Right.
What? There was one, I'll never forget it. Draymond gets subbed out. And I look at this, I'm like, who's got Kevin Durant? Stop it.
That just doesn't seem fair, does it?
It wasn't.
And here's Joe Harris just sitting in the corner like, I'll shoot 75% on threes. It's fine. It's okay.
I'm such a big fan of Joe Harris, too.
You know, just throw me the ball. I'll make it. You know, so yeah. No, look. Yeah, look, obviously, most sane people are going to pick Brooklyn to make the conference finals. But you got to pick upsets. That's the one I picked. What can I tell you? I could be nuts.
I like it.
I could be nuts. I am nuts. So, Allie, I am nuts. Allie, we love you. We love you. What do you got coming up on the road tripping? What's happening?
Well, everything is based off of this play-in tournament.
Ah, right.
Because we are back in studio now.
Yes, right.
With some protocols and stuff like that with COVID.
How is it? Is it like, how does it feel? I still haven't been back out. I've been to like three games. What's it like?
Here's the thing is, like, I haven't been to the arena, but we have been doing shows since May of last year.
Wow.
We have gone into studio at least 3 days a week. And now we're back to normal. I mean, at the start of like playoffs last year, we're back to normal. However, the occupancy inside the studio obviously had to be kept to a certain number.
Yeah.
And so there would be days where, you know, a couple of us would tune in from home and be a part of the show's remote. Obviously we made it work. But this whole season we've been pretty much back in full swing. So that is something that has been there for the shows. Road tripping though, in terms of having guests in the studio, that just lifted like 3 weeks ago.
Right.
We hope to, if the Lakers take care of business, we hope for road tripping, which is a hot topic right now, have Gilbert Arenas in studio.
Oh my God.
So
that would be fantastic.
He's got a lot to say.
Gilbert is going to be, he's like one of the last people to me that kind of didn't quite make the social media era. I mean, it was there some, but he was so good. Lord, he was so good.
Can you imagine him now? Instant meme. Yeah, he would be like, he was made for this time almost.
Unbelievable.
He was way ahead of his time.
He was so good.
That's a really good way to put it.
Oh my God. I mean, he was unbelievable talent and incredible storyteller. Storyteller is the emphasis here, but they're good stories.
Oh my God. We had him and Nick on about a year and a half ago, him and Nick Young together.
Oh my God.
I think it's one of our most watched just because of their stories, their straight comedy.
Yes.
People live for that.
Yeah. Them two together. Yeah. It's wild.
I hardly had to say a word.
All right, Allie, thank you for joining us. You are great.
You guys are awesome. Yeah, I appreciate this. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Love talking to
you. Go enjoy the beautiful California weather we have.
I really hate, but I hate you.
I almost did this podcast outside, but the birds are chirping so loud.
Oh, God.
Shout out, Ohio.
So much. I really hate you.
I love it.
You guys are the best.
I don't hate you. I love you both. Be safe. Be good. And hey, that's it. Leave us a 5-star review. We'll get to stupid questions next week. I forgot to ask for them this week. So we'll get to not stupid questions, I should say, next week. So 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get this fine, fine podcast. If you don't want to leave 5 stars, leave that to yourself. See you.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.